League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday in the big city. Way back Wednesday tomorrow, we've already said the theme will be songs from artists from the cities that have a XFL team. You were looking at the XFL t-shirts.
Yeah, I texted Raheel. I was like, hey, bro, can you help me get a Roughneck shirt so I can wear it on the show? And he did. I got a reply. New phone, who this?
Oh.
That ain't right. That ain't right at all.
What do you mean new phone? He has an iPhone. You can just transfer your contacts.
I feel like he's dodging.
I feel like he's, yeah.
Yeah. That's not nice, Raheel.
He's riding the wave of popularity of the Roughnecks right now. He doesn't need to be bothered with you and better things watch like it. That.
He's a big star now.
He's rolling pretty.
You talk about a dude that's self-made, that's putting it together. A lot of respect for what Raheel's got going on.
Yeah.
I told him at the party, at the gal party. I was like, bro, what you're doing is huge, man. Good for you. And that could be a big next step for him if he wanted to be a sideline reporter for college or pro football.
This is where you capitalize for yourself too.
Yeah.
Roughnecks colors and Air Jordan 1, the first Jordan 1s.
Uh-huh.
And because he's a shoe aficionado, you could rope that into and get them if they're doing well. Hey, like part of my on-field thing.
He took a picture and tagged them. Yeah.
One way or another, that's how you capitalize. That could be big.
Smart dude. Yeah. Smart dude indeed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it's good to see our people.
I love it. Granato getting to do play-by-play, friend of the show, Nate, and the station, Nate, yep. And Raheel doing the on-the-field stuff. It's very cool.
Even,
I'm very happy for
Bobby
those guys.
Bobby Beats and Partita. Jose Partita working
producing
on game days.
Oh, Aaron as well.
Yeah, everybody's got, Aaron too. We got a lot of people doing game day duty, so that's great.
Really cool.
Cool for the city, cool for the staff.
And I knew that all the games were on the station.
I was just going to say, good to know that the people on air
knew that.
That we are the flagship home.
Never a doubt. Man, the jerseys, though.
Yeah, you want one, don't you?
This one jersey. Oh, I guess because you can customize it. $275.
Well, that's why when you get yours,
no,
you tell them to put it on. They customize it for you there.
No, player, that's...
Matter of fact, you know what? I might be able to help you out.
You can put your own name and number on it. That's too much.
What number would you put?
69, obviously.
I figured, yeah.
Come on, man. What else would I put?
Boom Boom on the back or Llama, Shama Llama Dingo?
Harry Llama Tack.
Okay.
Because the closed captioning did me dirty one week.
I would
week
just do the Laminator.
No.
No?
Never have gone by the Laminator. That sounds so old. I'm definitely not going with the Laminator. That's terrible.
I got these scripts. Care to get them to the Laminator and make sure that they're protected?
No, I did tell y'all about that, right? Did I mention that? About how the closed captioning? You know,
yeah, you told me, yes.
Yeah, on the TV show, they do the closed captioning. And every Sunday, I start my segment and end my segment the same way. I say, I'm Barry Laminack, and this isn't what happened in sports this week. And then when I'm done doing all my little jokey jokes, I say, I'm Barry Laminack. That's not what happened in sports this week. Well, on the closed caption, I didn't even know it, but one of the writers for the segment, Chris Rogers, saw it and screenshot it and sent it to me. And the closed captioning said, I'm Harry Llama Tack. What? That's... How's it?
Nah,
no one's going to be able to follow me. They're like, what?
Harry Llama Tack?
Yeah. And I'm sure people are like, at Harry is funny isn't even out there. I can't find him on Twitter nowhere. I was like, Harry Llama Tack.
Under Zoo Stories... It also on Google. There was a Harry Llama Tack.
But it wasn't Houston. It wasn't LAMB. That's just it. It was Harry space LAM space attack. What? What are we doing?
Well, they can't spell
closed captioning guy.
If closed captioning guy's making a lot of other mistakes, then you can forget the B.
It's automated, right? I mean, I don't want to spill the secret sauce, but it's all automated.
Not all of them are.
They have people typing
it out?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do they just, like, pay somebody overseas on, like, Fiverr
overseas, but they
India?
Have, what happens is you take an ISDN line, just like doing a radio broadcast, and there are people that do...
Ahead of time, not obviously live.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
When you're doing NBA
live.
Games and stuff like that, they were transcribing. No, that's exactly what it's called, Nick. Yes, they were transcribing because I remember having to set up closed captioning
really?
For Rockets games and things.
Well, now, like,
through the stations.
I do know this. Like, if I do a YouTube video, if I have one of my stand, if I have a bit that I want to put on the on YouTube from stand up, right? A 2-minute bit or whatever, I can upload it to YouTube. And AR Platinum could validate this. I'm sure he does it. But you can choose for it to automate your closed captioning. So it'll go through and, like, speech to text, it'll mm-hmm. listen to all the audio and then write it. And sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes you'll get a hairy lamb attack. So
I don't mind
the
automation approach as long as you can go back. I feel like that would be easier. You can just go back and make the corrections, kind of like with voice text. If you it doesn't necessarily capture every little.
You guys both know that because I use it and it does not do well.
And then you'd have to come back and, like, delete and edit and whatever the case may be. So
sometimes you get a message from Joel and I'm like, he just had a stroke. I have no idea.
Literally,
what this says.
Literally,
4 o'clock. What?
I forget what you texted me the other day, and I was driving, and I just shot something back, and you're like, I think I know what you were saying.
I swear
there.
You're having a stroke right now.
Whoever
buddy.
Does the transcribing, though, I will say, like, at the like in the locker room at the end of the Rockets games, there's Rockets employees that just record the audio, and then after they go back to whatever their office or wherever they're working from, they type it on a paper, and then they give it back to the media.
Kind of like UFC will do that as well for each
and
of
I
the
think most PR, excuse me, most PR teams will do that.
Yeah.
And you have to be pretty quick about it. Like, I'm pretty sure you have to probably type, like
ideally,
I don't know, 90,
like
100 words
a, what,
in
a stenographer,
it.
Someone that's doing it in the courts and things like that.
That
so
I don't understand how the hell they do it, because there's no way I can transcribe like that on the fly without making mistakes.
Especially when there's dialogue. Like, I'm trying to remember what you just said now, and if he chimes in and I'm going, and Nick finished with blah, 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 and while I'm, wait, what he said?
Well, I think, so, you know, they used to do something called shorthand writing. And my mom was, way back in the day, was a secretary, and they used to learn shorthand. And it's literally, when you look at a note that has been written in shorthand, it looks like hieroglyphics.
It looks like a code,
Like you just, like it's, for the is just like a T or something like that, or I don't know how it works. You can actually just Google shorthand and it'll show you. But there's symbols to represent words and phrases and all this stuff. So you can literally, so and back in the day, it's kind of a, you know, it's almost misogynistic now, but back in the day, you'd be like, Jenny, can you come in here and take a memo? And she would go in and sit down and be like, I want to say this, and they would just talk. And so as to not interrupt their stream of conscience or their thought, secretaries would just do it in shorthand. And I think that's what the court stenographer thing is that typewriter. It's all shorthand words that they type phrases and stuff like that.
It's not a typewriter. They don't have
no, it's not
all
a traditional
the keys
typewriter.
Of like a keyboard.
No, and it's I would imagine that it's almost a version of shorthand for court cases where you can record stuff.
I don't know.
Crazy.
I've seen the actual court documents to go back and check records on. It's all typed out like you're reading a book.
Yeah. Oh, so. No, it's legit. There's no, like, look, this is the keyboard for a court stenographer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's very, very different.
There's like what? 1, 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. There's like 20 keys on it in the main row. And then there's like number keys and a few on the bottom. That's crazy.
I'm not a mathematician, but I can tell you there's 26 letters in the alphabet. So with only 20, that kind of limits
it. Yeah, and then you got all the numbers, and I'm sure there's no punctuation that they do, right?
I don't know. I thought they were, like, recording every little word, but I could be wrong.
Too.
I can't. I know for the PR staff at the Houston Rockets, they don't have to do that. As a matter of fact, they'll intentionally leave some of the quotes out because they don't want their team or the player to look bad. You know what I mean? But in the court system, I really don't know.
Yeah, they take the highlights of what each guy says. But I know back in the day, they had a computer, a desktop set up right, you know, where the media dining room is. There's that workroom behind it. And then there was behind there, the hallway where the bathroom is, there's a room where they had a desktop. And that's where they would take the recorder and then translate all of the quotes.
I wonder if a court stenographer is the person that had invented all the acronyms for texting now.
Maybe.
Like LOL, TIA, you know, like thanks in advance.
TYTL.
Laugh out loud. Talk to you later. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's kind of how it works in the court.
I mean, I've actually applied for a transcribing job before.
Oh, really?
And I lasted one day and I quit.
You were like, this is too much.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, because I wanted some extra money and it gave you flexibility with the schedule. The problem is they outsource it to people that live in like India or overseas, mm-hmm. and they're literally paying them like $6, $7, $8 an hour.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned India.
Was it live?
No, they give you like a podcast or audio clip, and then you just have to listen and transcribe, and then you get paid.
I wouldn't want that headache to like try and go as fast
as you
can.
If there was decent, no, it wasn't live. It wasn't live for me.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. That's a bonus. But if you gave me that job and said for $7 or $8 an hour, I got to translate some like live broadcast or dialogue, I'd be like, God, screw that.
Yeah, I would. You know what I would do is I would get the audio. Live would be difficult, but if it was something that like a podcast, I would get it and then I would just run it through speech to text and fix it.
Did you take typing in high school?
Yeah, absolutely. Keyboarding was probably my most utilized class till this day. Like, I think that was like the most, that class helped me till this day.
Yeah. Did you put up keyboarding, big numbers though, like words per minute?
Yeah, I forgot what my words per minute was, to be honest with you. I would tell you if I know.
No, but I'm saying you'd have to be like
my mom,
one of the highest in the class if you're going to do any kind of like.
My mom made me take typing. Now, this is like 1989.
Yeah.
This isn't the computer age. There's, you know, I remember the old school Max, but it was literally a typewriter.
Yeah.
And I remember doing my reports and everything on typewriters.
I did too.
In junior high and high school.
Shocking to you guys. You thought it was
so my mom made me take typing, and I was like, I'm never going to use this. She goes, just do it.
Believe
I was like,
me.
This is the stupidest. She goes, first of all, it'll be an easy A. I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
She's like, there's no homework or you know, it's really hard to take home typing homework. I was like, okay, I'm in. But man, I am so thankful she made me take that. I want to say I was like 70 words a minute. At my peak. I don't think I'm there anymore, but at the time I think I could do 70. The hard thing for me was doing the number keys the time. That was always because you had
using
to do
my
it
pinky
fast.
Too.
Yeah, you had to do it fast. So getting to the number keys was.
I got a D in typing and I was the quickest one, like
index finger typer,
two index finger for the longest time. And then one off season of the Rockets focused on it before I started doing all the studio stuff when I had to type everything. And I was like, okay. And I got better at it to the point where I could do the regular way. But yeah, in high school, I was on a regular typewriter and I sucked. And so I would like coerce my mom into doing, I would do extra, if she would type, I would handwrite it all. But then if she would type it for me, that I would do extra chores or something like that.
Look at
I
you. Okay.
I was a businessman back then.
All right.
Making business decisions. All right. We're rolling through the final hour of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. So don't go anywhere. We still got plenty more to get to. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday on the big show. As we take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. If you missed any of the show today, all you got to do is go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab at the top of the page, menu will drop down, catch up on the hours that you missed, and then while you're there on the front page, it also has the step-by-step instructions to download the app, then you take us anywhere, everywhere, never miss another show.
Oh, I got my headphones back. All is right with the world now. They're charged.
It would have been if you
ready
said
to
do
go.
It first.
Huh?
If you'd have said do it first, like you're supposed to.
Oh, do it. Yeah. My bad. Damn it.
Appreciate your plan. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, Nick. I don't know if you were out and about after dark last night, but the bridges on 59 right by the Spur were all lit up red.
That's cool.
Very classy move for John Altobelli and his family. The one-time U of H player and coach, graduated as a Cougar. He and his wife and his youngest daughter were on that helicopter with Kobe Bryant. They were honored yesterday at Angel Stadium in Anaheim and had a big ceremony there for the people and for the people closest to him. And then as a nice classy touch, the city of Houston honoring him as well by lighting up the bridges last night red, and then the mayor actually sending out notification. That's why they did it. So I thought that was very, very cool.
I didn't see that, but that is cool.
Yeah, very, very nice touch last night. And I do like the fact that they utilize the lights on City Hall and those bridges to honor people. They did do purple and gold the first night for Kobe and for Gianna. They're doing it tonight, I want to say in blue, for a lady that was a long time involved in city government here in Houston. So I think that's classy. But the fact that they did it for Altabelli, because I think a lot of people obviously saw the tragedy and were taken in, and everybody focuses on Kobe and Gianna. But then you hear about the fact that Altabelli was just a great, great college baseball coach. But then the thing that took me right away was people dug a little deeper. You know, he's a Coug, and he played there, and he coached there, and he graduated from there. And I was not aware of that until the story came out. And
yeah.
I'm glad the city did something for him. That's very, very nice.
It's cool to see that, especially because with Vanessa, I don't know if it was you or Joel or Barry who put this on the rundown, but the post that she had on Instagram, and it looks like she's not handling this whole situation very well at all, obviously.
Yeah, no, and Lisa and I talked about it because she did come out yesterday with an Instagram post, and she said as much as she continues to, you know, to think Kobe's coming back and he's going to be there, the more obviously the more troubling thing to her is her daughter is never going to be there again. And she's like, how tragic at her age to have a life cut that short. And obviously Lisa sympathizing, thinking about this with our two daughters and looking at them, and it just puts things in a whole different perspective. But it's definitely not over, and obviously it's a day-by-day thing for her. She'll probably never get over it. She'll deal with it, and then she still has the memorial coming up on February the 24th at the Staples Center, and I don't know if she'll even be there for that because that might be too much to take.
Again, it's look how long it's been.
Yep.
And most, you know, everybody else, they've had their memorial a lot earlier, but because it's Kobe, and rightfully so, like, it's probably harder on her than some of these other families because of how long it's elongating to get this funeral, to get this memorial. Funerals, as depressing as it is a bit of closure for mm-hmm. family members.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for them to extend it, I'm not saying it's a bad move. It is Kobe Bryant, but it's got to be hard on her as well.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I mean, you think about that. If you've lost a loved one, and both of you guys have, and I'm fortunate to say that I haven't lost my parents yet, but to lose a wife or a mom or dad is difficult enough as it is, or a husband, and then to drag it out, like you said, and I'm sure she appreciates the outpouring of emotion and love and support, but at the same time, like you said, it's closure.
It is.
And she doesn't have that yet, and that's got to be hard.
And she's probably, you know, she's going with this because she kind of has to. Not kind of has to, but she knows that everybody else had so much love for Kobe, mm-hmm. and they all want to do something special for her. So she's obviously they want something special. She wants something special done for her husband. So why wouldn't you accept all these offerings, and why wouldn't you make this a celebration of his life? And that's kind of what's making this whole situation elongate all the way until the 24th.
Well, but that and the date itself, because you know we all know by now Gianna wore 2,
right,
and Kobe wore 24. So from a Lakers perspective, you capitalize and say, we have the opportunity to honor the date, making it appropriate, and tie it in with 224. But as you mentioned, in doing so, you elongate the amount of time and grieving and waiting until that day comes. Because, yeah, it's great that the people are going to be able to grieve publicly and pay their respects and do the things that they wouldn't be able to do because funerals are always limited to family and close friends for the most part. But at the same time, the fact that it's taking so long can't be easy on anyone, especially those that have lost loved ones and that close.
Can't imagine.
And I don't know.
And the way that it happened and everything else is just.
And I don't know if you saw the post that I put on there, but the fact that, you know, when you hear her say, my brain refuses to accept that both Kobe and Gigi are gone, it's like I'm trying to process Kobe being gone, but my body refuses to accept that my Gigi will never come back to me, and it feels wrong. Why should I be able to wake up another day when my baby girl isn't being able to have that opportunity? I'm so mad. She had so much life to live. That's
what's heartbreaking.
That is just gut-wrenching.
Yeah. I don't even have kids. I just can't imagine, though.
I'll be honest with you guys. Since it all happened, and there's not a day now that I don't see Taylor doing something very simplistic, like having fun with her classmates at school or, you know, playing on the playground and just think about, my God, you know, she should have like 80 years of that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're thinking about a 13-year-old, I don't care who your dad was and how much money you made and all that other things. No 13-year-old or any child in those ages, or even close to it, should have life taken away that like that.
So sad.
Yeah, very, very tough times there. But again, a class move by the city of Houston, lighting up the bridges for John Altabelli and his family. Just wanted to make sure we threw that in there as he was a Coug.
Hey, Joel, how many balls do you think you could fit in your mouth?
I'm not going to answer that.
Do you think I can fit this in my mouth?
Do you speak from experience?
Do you think it would be more than a golden retriever named Augie did in 2003?
I know that my dog Bubba
was a
tennis ball catching aficionado.
Uh-huh.
But he maxed out at three.
Three.
Yep.
Do you think you could fit six balls in your mouth?
What size?
Wow.
I mean, tennis balls, Nick. Tennis balls, not meatballs. Tennis balls. Finley, a golden retriever, can fit six tennis balls in his mouth.
That's impressive.
He is now the Guinness World Record holder.
And from what I read,
that's a lot of balls.
He does it all by himself. Like, he literally Hashtag drops blessed. The tennis balls into his mouth.
He started with two, just practicing.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm not even the one that put this on the
sheet. I did.
I know. You knew as soon as you put this on there where this was going to go for me.
You tell me I'm the dad joke guy, and yet you have more fun
these
with
are not
these.
Dad jokes. These are childish, okay. I will admit. Not dad jokes, though. Just childish.
You want to talk about Kelvin Sampson's
defense? What is it? Childish frat boy, juvenile humor. That's what this is. Not dad jokes.
I'm sure the dog has suffocating D, too. When they watch the Cougars play.
There we go.
See, I just asked the question.
Yeah?
See, I'm not childish like you two. I just asked the question.
Whoa.
I feel like your question was kind of childish. I feel like you just need a clarification. Like, you're like, wait. What is the record?
Did you remember the J.R. Richard when he had all the baseballs
in his hand?
And
yes.
I forget, he broke the World Guinness Book of World Record for how many baseballs he could hold.
Yeah, palm.
Yeah,
because
palm,
he had them between
all the
his
baseballs.
Fingers.
Yeah. Because he had such big hands.
How many balls can you hold?
I'm not going there again.
All right. Well, I'm just
Otis
asking.
Thorpe? Probably quite a few. Right, yeah. Joel?
Otis Thorpe has like.
His hands are
jazz
massive.
Hands. He has like the biggest hands. He has some of the biggest hands you've ever seen. Him and Michael Jordan.
Really? Oh, yeah. Jordan did have big hands?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'll tell you. Okay, true story.
I feel like Shaq would have a bigger hand.
So, well,
possibly.
Shaq,
yeah,
but look at the size. Look at the size of Shaq compared to the size of MJ.
I know his foot was as long as my thigh when I was in like 1994 when I was like 23 years old because I bought a Beckett to price my baseball cards and it was a Shaq feature and they had a fold out of this actual size of his foot. It was longer than my thigh.
Yeah,
his foot.
Either Foot Locker or Foot Action had like one of his shoe size on display when I was a kid. I don't remember.
It's like a boat.
It was massive.
Yeah.
Because Bob Lanier used to have size 22s when he was in the NBA, and that was always supposed to be the biggest. And then Shaq came along. I think Shaq had 24s.
A size 24 shoe foot?
I believe it was in that range.
I bet he had
the Google. The Google says 22, so I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Could you imagine?
I'm going to tell you this, though. True story about Michael. So every year when I used to go to that Tahoe golf tournament, right? And you'd get entertainers and athletes, and Jordan and I used to go with Charles, and Jordan was always there. Well, the year Romo just played that half season or so, but played really well.
Right.
He shows up because he loves golf. But all of a sudden, from the time he shows up, his ego is, he's like one of the Hall of Famers. He's just running his mouth talking. And they get into this big discussion about who could play other sports. And Romo said, no one of you guys could play football.
Oh.
And then Michael got a little bit irritated. And then he said, well, Tony said, he goes, what would you play? And he goes, I could play receiver. And Tony's like, well, how fast are you? And Michael just looked at him and went, fast. And he goes, no, but I mean, you're 40. He goes, I said fast. You could tell he was getting irritated. And he's like, I mean, do you think you could catch the ball in traffic? Michael took a piece of notebook paper that one of the dealers had, and he held it up, and he put his hand to it with the base of his palm at the bottom of the notebook paper. His middle finger surpassed the top of the page.
Really?
That's how big from palm to the tip of his finger.
It's a foot.
His hand was that, and Tony Romo just stopped. And then to try and create levity, LaDainian Tomlinson grabbed Charles Barkley, got him in a three-point stance and said, I'd let this guy block for me every time as a fullback, and then everybody laughed. Because otherwise, it was getting pretty heated. But Romo was cocky about it, and Jordan was like putting him in his place look at his hands.
A legit 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
Damn right.
So it was over 11 inches from the base of his palm to his fingertip.
They say that's why Kawhi with his logo, Kawhi is close with his claw.
That's crazy.
So there's a little fun tidbit for you. That'll take us into the final half hour of the show. We're going to take a quick break.
You never answered. Three? How many balls can you fit in your mouth like the golden retriever can do six? You never answered.
And I never will.
Okay.
Thanks for playing. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Usual Suspects, final half hour of the show on a Tuesday in the big city, taking you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. We do always like to get back to our suspects. This is another opportunity for us to be in a season of giving and give you the opportunity to support the Cougs. The University of Houston men's basketball team faces the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes Wednesday, February the 19th, inside the Fertitta Center, 8 p.m. We have a four-pack of tickets to see the Cougars avenge a previous loss to the Hurricanes earlier this season, and you can catch redshirt freshman guard Caleb Mills try and become the second freshman in school history to lead Houston in scoring for a season. Make sure and listen for the U of H fight song all day for your chance to win another four-pack of tickets. But for now, caller number 10, 713-780-3776. Caller 10, you win a four-pack of tickets to see the Cougs and the Golden Hurricanes February the 19th, inside the Fertitta Center, 8 p.m. Good luck.
I'll be there. Come hang.
You're going
to
be there?
Yeah. I'm going to that game.
Okay.
They asked me to come out. I'm going. I'm going to hang with the peeps.
I got to call Coach.
So if you win, tickets, we're going to hang. We're going to eat them up.
Coach, what are you doing?
You're not texting him.
Barry.
He didn't invite me.
Oh, okay.
Not him specifically.
Jeez.
No, come on now. Come on.
So we've already said, go see the Cougs. Great environment.
Go.
Great building. Alcohol sales, right, Nick?
Yeah, there's alcohol sales.
That's changed, right? Because in college, there were very few. I know that for football, the Cougs were one of the very few in the country that had beer sales.
I believe that's the case.
Yeah.
Of wine, beer, and liquor. It's not a full bar. Yeah, basketball, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because for football, I know that I think it was just beer sales, but that was crazy because most, unless you were playing in an NFL stadium venue or things like that, they didn't allow it. But at the I remember going to Cougs games where they had beer at football games. That was a big deal. So now that you can do it at the Fertitta Center, you can get your drink on and enjoy good college basketball in the environment.
I won't be drinking at the game. I mean, I might have one beer if someone wants to buy me a beer, but I try not to. I'll buy my own beer. I'm just kidding.
Don't be OBJ, though, okay?
What do you mean?
Like, you get in the environment and get all...
I try to slap
any security dudes on the hind.
If I'm doing an appearance, I want to be professional. There are people that used to work at the station that no longer do because they got too drunk and acted a fool at an outing. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to drink my one beer.
Don't try and conduct the band.
No. Won't do that.
Okay. Don't try and post up the mailman on the court after the game.
Now, if they do ask me to shoot a free throw, I'll do that either.
I'm
going hook shot style for you, buddy.
Nope.
No?
No.
Okay. I could do it like Nick was trying to make paper in the basket yesterday. Nolan Ryan, 100 mile an hour fastball.
You kept trying to block it.
You were throwing heaters.
The thing is, the second I increase the speed of the throw, like, there's no way I'm making that. I've never been.
Didn't he tick one and it went in?
No, not no, mine. Never, not a mine.
No. I thought one of your laser beams went in.
I was like 0 for 7. I really was.
Well, I mistakenly tried to go over Barry during a break, and he somehow miraculously, looking, he can't make a shot, but he blocked mine.
No look block. It was the sweetest moment in my sports career.
You literally just threw your hand up in
the air. And he got it. And then he made insult to injury. He goes, you know what? The Twitch feed might have got that. And all of a sudden I was mortified. I was like, no one saw that. I don't care. Big deal. You blocked my shot. Then I was like, oh,
yeah,
no.
That's going to be, if they let us use GIFs for our profile picture on Twitter, that would be my GIF, me blocking your shot.
Well, I got mine.
No look. Boop. Yeah, you got
I
yours.
I got mine taunting nice Nick on trivia. Yeah, yeah. That little dance deal.
I actually,
in this political commercial season, I approved that message. I actually enjoyed that little dance.
I was a little shocked that you liked
yes.
it.
Yes. Good See, for I'm you. Turning the corner, guys. I'm getting better at it. I'm still not putting any of those balls in my mouth that you wanted me to know about. But no.
Somebody said, well, we were talking hand size earlier.
Yeah.
Somebody texted the show and said, I remember a Nike commercial over a decade ago where Javon Kearse held a ruler between his thumb and pinky digit on his finger. That's.
Oh, so there's 12 inches between his thumb and his pinky. That's a big ass hand.
So there's more than that, because if you could just touch the end, I almost said something else. If you could touch each end of the ruler, I almost said if you could touch the tip. Mm-hmm. If you could touch end of the ruler, I'm glad I didn't say it.
Yeah.
You could that would be 12 inches, but he can hold it. So he's at least 13, a half inch on each side to wrap his fingers around it.
Yeah.
That's legit.
Wasn't that used some other way?
What?
As well, with females for a while?
That's not the size. I thought it was they measured something else, which I'm in so much
trouble.
I thought
they either went shoe size or that type of behavior, from which thumb, Nike should have known better if that was the case.
From thumb
to use a ruler and do that?
No, not from thumb to pinky. And I think it was more of like...
Well, yours was pointer finger to thumb, right?
Bro, mine was thumbnail. What are you talking about? It was like, how big's your thumbnail? I don't know, but it's cold and it's embarrassed right now.
Scared turtle.
Yeah, it's been swimming my whole life. All right? Don't worry about it.
Welcome to the pickup line on a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects.
Of course. We're getting out of this before I have to do a read. I'll tell you
that.
Not doing that to me.
Nope. Okay. So a little NFL for you. A couple things. You had pointed out that the 2020 NFL free agency period is coming up, and there is a preview out there with all the teams and the players to target and the plans of action. And I didn't know if you were going to go Chiefs or you were going to go Texans when taking a gander at all of this.
Well, they talk about, so this, the Pro Football Focus has this really great database that if you're a member or like an edge member or whatever, you can get into it. And it shows you all of the free agents. You can sort them by their position, but you can also sort it by position of need for the teams. So they kind of broke it down a little bit, not necessarily the way it is in the database, but in the article itself, which is on Pro Football Focus, they bring up the different teams and they talk about the fact that Houston is going to need, obviously, first and foremost, they need help at corner. And so one of the names that they mentioned is Chris Harris. They talk about players to target, linebacker Joe Schobert, cornerback Chris Harris Jr.
We've been talking about Chris Harris Jr. Yeah. for quite a while.
But then they talk about, one, they've got cap space, $55 million. Two, who's going to be unrestricted free agents going into the offseason? DJ Reader, Bradley Roby, Jonathan Joseph, which I'm like, yay, finally out from under Jonathan
Joseph. How loyal they are, don't be surprised.
Brian Anger, well, you could probably get him really cheap, but you get what you pay for.
Right.
Brian Anger, Carlos Hyde, A.J. McCarron, Darren Fells, and Kyeemi Fairbairn. Those are all your soon-to-be unrestricted free agents for the Texans. So you're going to need a punter. You're going to need a kicker. No big deal. They probably bring both of those guys back.
Right.
But, I mean, you're losing Roby. You're losing Jonathan Joseph. So they're really on this. You need to go out and get Chris Harris. Vernon Hargraves was considered a lock to be cut because of his
cap hit for this coming cap year is 9.6.
They'll save $9.6 million cutting Vernon Hargraves, and they'll save another $4 million cutting Angelo Blackson. So you can add, you know, roughly $13.5 million. So there'll be moves, but I just found it interesting. Chris Harris was a name that, like I said, I think you were the one that originally brought it up a while back on the show.
Now, here's an interesting point, fellas.
Here's an interesting topic.
Let me throw this at you, because we have heard from Lance and others talk about the fact that Roby is all but gone, and he was probably their best corner this year. But he's also come out on Twitter and other things and saying, you know, when people are saying, hey, we don't want you to go, saying, you know, I hope something can be worked out. So we don't know exactly where that camp is, but let's not forget who he played with in his last stop prior to Houston and the fact that he played with Chris Harris. Mm-hmm. If you get Chris Harris Jr. to come here, that might swing Roby to saying, you know what? I'll play with my dude again.
Maybe.
Matter of fact, when we were at Super Bowl on Radio Row here, Chris Harris Jr. was, we had him on the air and he was there. And they were, that was when their secondary was really, really good with Akeem Tlaib. And then they had Chris Harris Jr. and Roby together. I'll tell you what, you could do a lot worse if you're the Texans if there was a way to get both those guys.
You know what's interesting is, yeah, and you're right, but they have, like, so on this database, which is really awesome, you can sort by positions of need and positions, right? So I have all the cornerbacks that would be unrestricted free agents. Byron Jones at number 9 will be an unrestricted free agent from the Cowboys. They're projecting him at 5 years, $16 million. But they're projecting Chris Harris, who at Pro Football Focus ranked number 10, to be an unrestricted free agent at 2 years and $13 million. 13 guaranteed. That was 2 years, $13 million a year. So 13 guaranteed, $26 million in total, versus Byron Jones is going to get $16 a year, $50 million guaranteed, $80 million total. I think the play here is Chris Harris because the contract makes a lot more sense. It's more friendly. But when you look at their grades, and they graded out Byron Jones at a 76.1. They graded out Chris Harris at 69.9. And it's fallen over the last 3 years. He was 79.1 in 2017.
Oh, no, he's definitely lost a little bit of his fastball.
85.5 last year and 69.9 this year. So, again, it's one of those. He's not going to be an elite top level. And he's probably going to play in the slot. But nowadays, that's fine. You need somebody. Because, you thought the cat you got from Jacksonville was going to be the guy in the slot. But if Chris Harris can come in and be productive, that would be a huge help.
Colvin.
Yeah, Aaron Colvin.
Yeah, but Chris Harris. The thing I don't understand about the whole thing is they also set aside from Chris Harris Jr., the other guy you were supposed to get was Schobert. Schobert's a linebacker from the Browns. You just overpaid your linebacker.
Yeah, well, they're talking about
a lot of linebackers. Do you need
him? They're discussing
him?
Maybe moving on from Zach Cunningham at some point, or the fact that he was so bad in coverage, which surprised me because I thought Zach Cunningham was going to be a coverage linebacker.
Well, there you go.
But he was really good stopping the run. Guy that they have listed here that you might keep an eye on that I kind of like, they have him ranked 47th as far as corners go. Brian Poole, formerly of the Jets, unrestricted free agent, 3 years, $7.5 million a year, $12 million guaranteed. It might be a guy that value wise, he had a really good season last year overall. So, and he's kind of in the middle of that. So keep an eye on him as well.
Well, there you go.
Also keep an eye on your Cougars. University of Houston men's basketball team. They're facing off against the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes. We just did a giveaway for them. If you didn't get it, hey, you can still come and hang out. You can still get tickets. It's the next home game at the Fertitta Center. It's this Wednesday, February 19th at 8 p.m. They're looking to avenge their loss against Tulsa that they had on the road, 63-61. Now, it was only their third conference game of the year. Not that big of a deal. That was back on January 11th. This is a new Cougars basketball team. This is a top 20 ranked U of H Cougars basketball team led by redshirt freshman Caleb Mills, who has averaging 13 points a game. And he's looking to be only the second freshman in school history to lead the team in scoring for a season. Don't forget Nate Hinton leading the team in rebounds at 9.4 a game. The future is bright, but the future is now. This is a top 20 team. How often do you get to say you get to go watch a top 20 basketball team in your own hometown of Houston, Texas? Well, you can absolutely do that at the Fertitta Center and the U of H Cougars. Ranked, like I said, ranked 20th. And tickets right now, $20 for the Tulsa game. You can get tickets for $20. That is absolutely crazy. All you got to do is go to call 713-GO-COUGS to get tickets. That's 713-GO-COUGS to get tickets. And don't forget, after that game, there's two home games left. You got Cincinnati on March 1st. That's a noon game. And then you've got Memphis. That's the one Joel wants to go to. March 8th. That's a Sunday at 11 a.m. Make sure you stay connected with the Cougs on social media, Twitter, IG, and Facebook. It's all at UHCougarsMBK, at UHCougarsMBK. But call and get your tickets now. Come hang with me. Come hang out and let's watch the Cougs beat Tulsa. 713-GO-COUGS for tickets. That's 713-GO-COUGS.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to put a bow on it. The final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio as we had a good-spirited show, lots of dialogue, covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we did, I feel like. Hit on a lot of stuff. Talked hand size, talked how many balls Joel could fit in his mouth, like the golden retriever that broke the Guinness World Record for tennis balls. We talked roughnecks. Sorry, I'm sorry. Roughnecks, we talked about that. We talked, we covered the gamut. Somebody had a question for me on the text line.
Okay.
And I don't normally do this self-indulging stuff.
Sorry, I must be catching.
You are such a jerk. A
couple months.
You are such a jerk.
Okay, you were saying? Go ahead. I think it's gone.
You made me snort twice in a row, you jerk. But it says Barry.
Could be catchy, Nick. Be careful.
Are you done?
Yeah. Let me get some water. Oh, I'm out. Look at that. Won't be stopping until after the show.
It says, Barry, is being funny something you're born with or is it a skill you learn? If it's a skill, what are some ways someone can become more funny?
Well, what are you waiting for? Answer the question.
Well, I really don't know. I see people that try comedy that are not funny. You can tell right away when someone thinks funny. And I think that being funny is a natural thing. Can you learn how to be funny? Can you learn how to write a joke? Yeah, probably. But there are just people that are naturally funny. Just like there are people that are gifted at singing. Can you learn how to sing? To a certain degree. But sometimes it's just, I mean, I hate to say it, but you're just born with it. Like, there are singers that need to hone their voice and get it at an elite level, like with singers or other, you know, in the industry. But there are just people that you just see that are just born to sing. And I think there are people that are just born naturally funny. Or it's something that you kind of becomes a defense mechanism. In a lot of ways, most comics, you know, it's kind of like when I was telling you about the acting class when I was supposed to cry and I did.
Right.
And our acting coach was like, yeah, comics are usually some of the most disturbed and emotionally vulnerable people. And it's very true because for us, for a guy like me, comedy becomes a defense mechanism. You learn how to make people laugh in situations where it's uncomfortable or other situations. So, but I think you have a sense of humor. And then it's just figuring out how to hone it.
Yeah, I would say that just anybody that has a sense of humor, too, it's kind of your upbringing, right? Because if you grew up with friends and friends, like the guys I grew up with, the biggest thing that they did was they took shots at you. You were always, yeah. You know, you were poking fun. You were, and a lot of times you didn't care how offensive you could get because it was just you and your boys. Mm-hmm. But how you responded to that and the way you zapped them back and got them and did things like that kind of developed certain aspects of your personality. And that's totally different than what you're talking about because you're doing it as a career.
Yeah, I think you can learn to write jokes, but I think there are some people, because I do the workshop every Tuesday at the Houston Improv. It's a comedy workshop, and we talk about joke writing. We talk about comedy, but there's like some people that are just never going to be good at stand-up no matter how hard they tried at it.
I do believe that there are people that they're so funny that they don't even know that they're funny. Like sometimes they say things and they don't even know that it's funny and everybody else around them is kind of laughing.
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of gifted by God to a certain extent. Kind of like players. Like players obviously can get better and work at their craft like Kobe Bryant did, right? But I think to a certain extent, a lot of it was, God at least given. Half of it was God gifted, right? Yeah. And then he just perfected what he already had, which was
gene pool can be strong.
Sure.
It's the same thing. And I think humor and comedy is the same way. Like there are people that are just born where just like, that dude is just hilarious. And then they learn how to become a comic and they're so good at it, right? Like, and then there are others that work, and they're never going to be great comics. They might be average at best. And
Waz, he's kind of like that. Like he just, whether he's trying or not, I know you do a podcast with him now too, but when we had him on the show, the first thing I noticed right away was, this dude's kind of funny without trying. Comes out of his mouth. He may just be saying naturally, but it comes out and you can chuckle on it.
Yeah, Waz is definitely that guy. I mean, I wouldn't say, I love Trey, Juggalo Trey. I wouldn't say he would be a comic, but at the beginning, when he first started here, I don't think he realized how funny he was.
But here's the thing. I think Trey has now harnessed it. Like, he still does he's still, quote, Trey, Juggalo Trey.
Right.
But it's all more calculated now. And he knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
And
premeditate
he says and
more.
Does things that are hilarious, but he has honed it and tapped into it, and he knows now.
Sure.
And maybe we're not giving him enough credit for when he first got here, but to me, there's a big difference. He used to stumble into funny, and now I think he can do it on purpose.
And I would agree with that. I would agree with that
100%. Also premeditated, like when he's trying stuff with us in the bullpen and stuff like that. He's thinking about
Trey
to say
has
that
mastered
funny.
Awkward conversation. And it's hilarious because of that. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, he's really good at it. So, I think that's a good point by Nick. So I hope that answers your question. Yeah, if you're thinking about doing comedy, don't.
So basically, the only text messages you read were about you.
I mean, I could read yours, but I'm sure you don't want me to.
No, okay, fine.
There weren't that many nice ones for any of us today. That was literally one of the nicest ones all day. One of the best ones. Did I miss one?
No, I'm just going to say, let me get my notepad down and let me start jotting down some numbers.
Oh, okay. Oh, for people you need to block?
Yeah. Or take care. You know.
Gotcha.
Okay, so way back Wednesday, we've got it. We got it, the theme picked out. Songs from the 8 XFL.
Good luck
cities.
With Tampa.
Yeah, really good luck with that.
So. Iced, what do we call them? Iced latte? No, iced age? Iced.
PYTs is where I'm going.
You going PYT?
I think so. I don't know because.
What did I? What was the name? Iced ages?
Well, if you can't even remember it, it's a good step iced, in the direction babies. For me and Nick.
Okay. I'll Google it. I'll figure it out. It's going to be good.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, there you go. So we'll get ready to prepare for Way Back Wednesday. Before we do that, Barry.
Speaking of preparing, are you prepared for Valentine's Day? If not, I have the solution for you. And if you messed up at Christmas and didn't get the significant other in your life something shiny and sparkly, don't make that same mistake twice. Go see my guy, Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. Mark, how are you going to take care of the people like you take care of me all the time?
Hey, you know, this year for Valentine's Day, I have a Valentine's Day package.
Nice.
Okay, for the ESPN listeners, the only place I advertise, you come in, you get your choice of a diamond pendant or diamond earrings, whichever you choose, and you also get a dozen roses, and you also get a Valentine's Day card, and then we wrap it for you, put in a bag, and then we also give you, for the effort, for yourself, a gift certificate to Torchy's Tacos. So you get all that for $200.
Nice.
Yeah, all of it for $200. It's the greatest thing ever. The best deal in the city of Houston. So anything in jewelry, you know, we're the best. Diamond pendants, earrings, bracelets, loose diamonds. You want to upgrade your ring. You want to upgrade the earrings, whatever. Anything in Houston, we are the best that there is. You can check us out. Our prices are better than anywhere else in the city. We've been doing it for years. But this Valentine's Day package, you come to Klein's. You get a dozen roses, you get a diamond pendant or diamond earrings, your choice. We wrap it for you, you get a Valentine's Day card, and you get a gift certificate to Torchy's Tacos, all for $200. It's the best deal in the city of Houston. Come and see me anytime this week. It's going to be great.
It's literally a no-brainer. Go do it right now, guys. It's one-stop shopping right there, Mark Klein and Klein's Fine Jewelry. Mark, we appreciate you, brother.
Okay, great.
Go do it. Mark Klein, Klein's Fine Jewelry, give him a call. 832-316-1388. And do not go anywhere. The Blitz is up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.